You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 9th of April, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, the weekend is almost here. It's Friday once again, and you know what that means. It means that we have Grandpa Dan with us today. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I feel like I'm making my grand entrance upon the stage. Thank you very much. I'm sitting here. I tell you, Sven, I'm sitting here. I'm just soaking up all my white privilege. I'm sitting here. I've got so much white privilege that my body aches all over from all the white privilege. But doing great. Spring is here. No more cold weather. So this basically winds up feeling like 2 weeks of spring before, you know, it's 100 and something degrees and summertime here. So, yeah, doing great. Looking forward to reading some more today, hearing some more today about all of this white privilege, Sven.
Well, I'm very sad to say, actually, somebody who did have a lot of privilege and well-deserved, I think, is the Duke of Edinburgh. Unfortunately, he has passed away, and he really was the very best that the royal family had, I think. If you look through some of his sayings in the past, the man was just so politically incorrect. He had a fantastic sense of humour. It's a real shame that he is gone. It's a great shame that he wasn't actually king. It's a shame that we've had Queen Elizabeth rather than King Philip. So I just wanted to point that out at the start of the show, pay our respects to Prince Philip and condolences to Queen Elizabeth II and their family. I'm sure they must be very upset that the grandfather is gone. And I am genuinely upset because I really did think he was a good person. And as I say, he deserved his privilege. But some people who may not deserve the privilege that they have and do actually have a lot of privilege are the world's billionaires. Britain is home to 85 billionaires. And according to Forbes' annual ranking, this reveals the planet's richest have increased their worth by almost £6 trillion during the pandemic. Silicon Valley tycoons dominated the top of the global rankings, with Amazon's Jeff Bezos named the world's richest person with £128 billion, and that is up £46 billion from last year. SpaceX's Elon Musk, Microsoft's Bill Gates, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, and Louis Vuitton's Bernard Arnault round out the top five in that order. There are 2,755 billionaires worldwide, and they have an eye-watering combined net worth of £9.4 trillion. And two-thirds of that appeared while the rest of us were locked down. That is an increase of 300% in the wealth that these billionaires have. The authors of Forbes' 35th annual list said the number of billionaires exploded to unprecedented levels during the pandemic, at a time when many businesses did not survive harsh lockdowns. Now, this has not been national news. This has not been international news. This is just in some newspapers. I haven't heard the left talking about this at all. And yet this is really important. I mean, a 300% increase in their wealth, two-thirds more money than they originally had, while the rest of us have lost our jobs. The cafes are shut down. The pubs are shut down. The pubs are having to pour all their beer away. And yet these people at the top, they're making an absolute fortune. out of everybody else. And this is really wrong. These are the people that we should be pointing out that they have unearned wealth here, and that they should be directing some of that into programs to actually help the people. But we're not. All we seem to be hearing about is the fact that blacks and non-whites don't have as much as white people, and it is the white middle class that is to blame. And that's in the next article that I'm going to get into here. But I'll just pass it over to you, Grandpa, for your thoughts on this obscene wealth that these billionaires have amassed, while the rest of us have, some of us have been starving, basically.
Well, I mean, just right off the bat, though, to go back to the passing of Prince Philip, you know, and, you know, I mean, this is, you know, a big thing. It barely got a mention, by the way, in the U.S. media this morning. But, you know, it's a big loss for the royal family. And I have absolutely no doubt that right now Meghan Markle is agonizing about how in the hell to make this all about her. But I'm sure she'll... I'm sure she'll come through like a trooper and figure out a way to make his death all about her, and maybe have to go do another interview. Now, this we've been talking about this this just absolutely disgusting wealth transfer, and that's what it is. It's a wealth transfer. They talk about all these billionaires have gained all this trillions of dollars worth of wealth, and they act like it just came from the nether. It just appeared all on its own. It's not a coincidence. The working class has been decimated. What the middle class, what is left of the middle class, which was already shrinking before this nonsense started, is being strip mined. I call it strip mining the economy. They've been strip mining the economy of what's left of the middle class. And that's where this money has come from. And that's something that everybody's got to have clear in their head, because they try to act like I remember hearing for years conservatives would say the economy is not a zero sum game. But that's observably bullshit. The economy is a zero sum game. And this money came from somewhere. I mean, Jeff Bezos didn't get all of these trillions of dollars just from nothingness. It didn't just he checked his bank like you check. I check my bank account every day, and I usually have the same reaction. Whoa, how do I even survive on this? But I guarantee Jeff Bezos didn't check his bank account and was like, whoa, I just gained another $58 billion. How did that happen? I guarantee it didn't happen. That money came from somewhere. The money is coming from the working people and from, like I say, the already shrinking middle class, strip mined. And this is so important as a society as a whole, because the middle class is the little bit of thing that has brought stability to this country. We have nothing else in common, become so multicultural. There's no shared culture, no shared race, no shared history. They've gotten rid of religion, basically. There's nothing. The only thing that's been holding this shit show together is this perception of relative economic prosperity. People don't want to rock the boat. People go on just about anything because they're hoping to keep their little tiny crumb, their little piece of the pie. It's not even a piece anymore. It's just like somebody left a piece of crust right there and you grab it up and hope they don't notice you got it. But if Jeff Bezos sees you got it, he's going to grab that out of your hand, even though he's over here just like with a whole refrigerator full. He's going to grab that and put it in his refrigerator. So, you know, that is being taken away there. Now, all pretenses are off. They're strip mining the economy, and these guys are getting richer and richer, and that's where the money is coming from. But as we're going to see as we go along here, you know, people have gotten as far through this as what we've covered so far, and they're like, yeah, good. Somebody's pointing out that even this article here is pointing out that they're strip mining the economy. But don't worry, the bait and switch is coming. You see, it's not actually about the working class and the shrinking middle class being strip mined to give the money to billionaires. We're going to find out the problems. Problem is actually basically white people. And it's they're being, this is yet another case of minorities being victims of the racism.
Well, you can see why Bill Gates supports lockdowns and is saying we need a lockdown for 2 years, maybe 3 years. We all need to be wearing masks, because he's one of these main people that have made all this money. You can see why Mark Zuckerberg has been clamping down on all dissent and all people that are talking about how the coronavirus has been overblown, because he is another one that is making all this money out of this. We have these conflicting interests here with some of the main people that are involved in promoting lockdowns to do with coronavirus. Now, as you pointed out there, Grandpa, of course, we're not being told this in the mainstream press. What we're being told in the mainstream press is that we really need to be paying out more money to the blacks, Hispanic, and poor Americans. Of course, by poor Americans, they mean black Americans. Lockdowns due to the coronavirus pandemic hit women, black, Hispanic, and poor Americans the hardest, a new study suggests. Low-income African Americans and Hispanics were up to three times more likely than high-income white men to lose a job, be food insecure, or default on a rent or mortgage. And that is pretty blatant, isn't it, what they've actually done there. Instead of comparing low-income African Americans with low-income whites, they've compared low-income African Americans with high-income whites. And not just high-income whites, but high-income white men. So what they've done is they have compared people with a low average IQ, an average IQ of about 85, to people with an average IQ of probably about 120, which of course is going to predict that there is going to be a difference there in the wealth. And also, when you have a lower IQ, you're less likely to actually save because you don't really think that much about the future. If you have a higher IQ, then you are more likely to save because you think something might come along in the future that you're not prepared for, something like a lockdown. So straight away, what we see here is that they're actually being dishonest in the way that they're actually comparing this when they say it's against a high income white man. It should be measured against low income white men if you're going to compare low income African Americans. And of course, the lockdowns are going to hit the poor people the hardest. Anything like this hits the poor people the hardest, and that's irrelevant to race. There are going to be just as many poor white folks out there in America, but they don't want to draw attention to that. They want to make out that it's white people that are actually doing this. So straight away, this is dishonest. But what do you make of it, Grandpa?
Well, this is the part of the article where they pull the bait and switch. You get in the first part, which we covered, and you're like, oh, good. Somebody's calling out that these billionaires are working hand in hand with the government, by the way. Strip mine the economy. What's left of the economy from working people and the ever shrinking middle class? And you think, oh, that's a great thing. But here we get to the bait and switch. All of a sudden, you know, you think, oh, well, the closest thing working white people get is this quote unquote poor Americans, but we see that is quickly shoved aside, and all we're going to talk about now are blacks and Hispanics and non-whites. It's if, like, you know, and then they insert this high-income white men. It's amazing to me that the anti-white race-hating agenda just it has to be inserted no matter what. You don't even have to look hard for it, and there it is. Everybody, high-income white men, you know, because there's no high income black people. I've seen black doctors. I'm pretty sure their income's way, way better than my paltry income. Yeah, this is much like I was thinking they will go on about the inequalities, the injustice of the legal system here in the U.S. because, you know, black people get sent to prison because, well, most of the time because they're doing more crimes. But aside from that, I mean, they're innocent people that do go to jail. Whenever they come up with a black person that wound up, you know, they were innocent and got sent to jail, got a raw deal. It happens. I'm not going to sit here and pretend it doesn't. And they'll always focus on race as if the courts, the police, the jury were sitting there going, man, I'm looking at this guy. He probably didn't do it. But that skin tone, he's blacker than midnight. Let's get him out of here. Send him to the Huascal. But no, the inequalities in the legal system have to do with money. If you're wealthy, you can hire a team of lawyers and you can pretty much like be running down the street with a bloody knife screaming, I did it, I did it. And when it comes court time, you're going to get off. Where if you're a poor person, even if you're 100% innocent, they're going to try to squeeze you into a plea deal. You're going to bind up with a court appointed attorney that doesn't give a shit because he's not getting paid for it. And that's where the inequality lies, but they don't ever focus on that. They turn it into race. And this is the same thing. They're trying to focus this in on race. I think it's interesting that they brought up all of these quote unquote white billionaires at the opening of the article and then made it a point to insert high income white men. But they left out how many percentage of these billionaires are actually Jewish. I'm sure that was just an accidental oversight on the part of the authors of this article. But no, this leaves you with the impression they're trying to create the impression that like poor white people do not exist. I can testify. I can testify that poor white people do actually exist, and a lot of them are hurting just as bad as anybody else. But the agenda is always there. You're always going to get the agenda here. The anti-white race-hating agenda will always be inserted, and here you see it plain as day as they pull this bait and switch.
Well, I should point out there that the first part was actually from a different article. This is the point I'm trying to make. Instead of referring to the billionaires, they come out with this article about the not so well-off blacks and non-whites, and then compare them to high-income whites. And there's no mention whatsoever of this wealth transfer to the billionaires there. Well, a team from the University of Washington in Seattle and Harvard, T.H. Chan School of Public Health, say more public health policies are needed that target inequities between races, ethnicities, sexes, and income brackets. So it's important there. They're not talking about inequalities. They're talking about inequities. What they are saying there is that everybody should have exactly the same outcome. So whether you do the work or not shouldn't matter. You should just be getting the same outcome as somebody else who does all the work. That is the difference between equality and equity. For the study published in JAMA Network Open, the team used data from more than 1 million people that participated in the US 2020 Household Pulse Survey. Questionnaires were distributed between April 23rd and July 21st to participants across all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Researchers asked if volunteers had experienced any of the following due to the coronavirus pandemic: unemployment, food insufficiency, mental health problems, no medical care received for health problems, default on last month's rent or mortgage, and class cancellations with no distance learning. Results showed that for every 10% reduction mobility, which means for everybody that was stuck at home, 10% of that, there were higher odds of all six outcomes. I mean, that is just so ridiculous. Of course there's going to be higher odds of you not being able to afford the rent, or you not being able to afford things because you're stuck at home and you're unable to work. I mean, this is just logical that if you're stuck at home and the government have told you can't work, you're not going to be able to afford these things. And obviously the people with a higher IQ, as I pointed out, they're going to save for the future in case something like this happens. Those who haven't saved for the future, who have a lower IQ, they're going to be the ones that end up having to default on the rent or the mortgage. And this is just a factor of the difference between people, particularly the difference between races. That if you have a different average IQ between the races, that predicts there are going to be different outcomes. And that's what we are seeing here. We're seeing that black people and non-whites are less likely to save for the future. And they're also probably on a lower wage as well, because they have this lower average IQ. There's nothing we can do about that. It's heritable. You inherit your IQ from your parents. But the idea that what we should be doing is blaming white people for this, as if the high earning whites, they are somehow to blame for the fact that the blacks and the non-whites aren't doing quite so well, is abhorrent, really. Why should we be blaming people for something that is nothing whatsoever to do with them, that is just a factor of life? This is why it's so important that we actually base our policies on reality rather than basing them on some utopian idea, some fantasy of how we wish things could be. All we have to do is look at South Africa to see what happens when we have a majority non-white population and we still keep all these programs in place in order to promote the non-white population at the expense of the white population. And that is really what this is asking for here, where it says we need more public health policies that target inequities between races, ethnicities, sexes, and income brackets. I guess what they're saying there is we need to have more free healthcare for blacks. But as far as I'm aware, they get free healthcare anyway, don't they, Grandpa? It's only whites that don't get the free healthcare over there, isn't it?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, regardless of which one of these we look at, I mean, the overall theme remains the same. I kind of conflated it. It's a single article earlier. Sorry about that. But you see the same thing. They keep deflecting from the fact, and this is the fact, that the trillions of dollars the billionaires are getting are being strip mined from everybody else. Now, here in the U.S., they're papering this over. You think, well, if that's the case, why aren't people more angry? Why aren't people out in the street? You got people that already had you know, low tier shit jobs. And what they did was they shut everything down and those people went on unemployment. Now here, unemployment is a state program, not state as in from the federal. I mean, local, you know, your state, like Texas, Arkansas, whatever the case may be. And the state pays you like, it's like, I think it's roughly about 60, 70% of what you were making is what you get on unemployment. So it's a pay cut, right? So generally what would happen if somebody goes on unemployment, they're going to try to find a job as soon as they can because you know, you just had a 30%, say a 30% cut in income. Well, the federal government, in the name of this doom virus shutdown, has kicked in extra money. And so now you have a situation where your unemployment between the state and what the feds are kicking out, many of these people are now making more money on unemployment than they were making at their shit tier job. So of course they're not mad. They're not gonna rock the boat. They're like, sure, this lockdown's greatest thing ever. I got a raise in pay. I got an absolute raise in pay, but that's just a paper over. Likewise, they also have this program where they're making it illegal. If you're renting to somebody and they haven't paid the rent for the past year due to the doom virus lockdown, you can't kick them out. So now you got people, they're not even having to pay their rent. They're making more money than they were making working. So nobody's rocking the boat, but that's not going to last forever. And at some point in time, it's like after everything's destroyed. And that's what makes it so nonsensical when they talk about, well, we're going to return to normal. What normal? So many of these businesses, I mean, you're on a business, and most businesses, at least here in the US, operate on margin. They operate on a line of credit. And if you have your business shut down for just 2 months, much less a year, shut down for 2 months, and now you have no revenue stream coming in, you're still supposed to pay the lease on your building because that protection against being evicted doesn't apply to businesses. You still have a lease to pay. You still have all this stuff to pay. They go under. And we've seen this. And there's not going to be, once they quit papering this over, there's not going to be any jobs to go back to, but then it's going to be too late. And all the while, we're supposed to have this impression that these billionaires, this just fell into their lap. It was just a coincidence that these lockdowns somehow have benefited them. And again, they try to turn this around and make this about race, to make this about, oh, well, it's because, I don't know, it's something to do with lack of health care for people of other races. And again, acting as though poor white people don't exist, working class white people don't exist. This whole thing has hit the working class and the ever shrinking middle class the hardest. But they don't want you to focus on that. They don't want you to focus on the absurdity that this is all a coincidence, that these billionaires who have been all on board with the lockdown have just gotten even more filthy rich from it while everybody else has gotten poor. They want to divert you. They want you to think, oh, well, this is about more racism. See, we got more racism. Blacks are being picked on once again. Poor Hispanics are being picked on once again, while the high wage earning white people are out there doing just fine. It's all a diversionary tactic. They don't want people realizing that, you know, they're just being used.
And it's staggering, isn't it? When you think how rich those billionaires were anyway, how rich they were last year, and you think they're now three times as rich as that. And all that wealth has come from the lower portion of society. And instead of pointing that out, they're saying, oh, it's look at these high income white men. They're not suffering as much as the blacks. Well, individuals with low income were at the highest risk of experiencing all outcomes, as were different racial groups. So they do point out that it's actually individuals with a low income that they're the ones that are experiencing this. It's not specifically because for some reason somebody doesn't like the color black. But then it says, in comparison with high income white men, low-income African-Americans were the most likely to experience these results. Dishonest again. Why doesn't it compare low-income white men with low-income African-Americans? Why does it have to compare them with high-income white men? Of course they're going to be more likely to experience these results. I bet if they compared them to high-income black men, they would still be most likely to experience these results. It's so disingenuous what is going on here. They say, for example, poor black men were three times more likely to experience food insecurity and 2.8 times more likely to lose a job due to the pandemic. In addition, low-income black women were 1.9 times more likely to experience mental health issues and 1.7 times more likely to lack access to medical care. When controlling for income, African Americans were still 1.3 times more likely to be food insecure and 2 times more likely to go into rent or mortgage default than Caucasians. Again, it's such a simple answer to that. It's just the fact that there is this difference between the IQ. What are they saying here? Are they saying this has been deliberately done to penalize African Americans and to make them experience food insecurity? I mean, part of this is because of the sort of jobs that they have. They're short-term jobs, they're low wages that they're actually paid for these jobs. They're not actually paid that much for them, so they're not really going to be able to save that much money. That is just the way that society is. We have these different classes in society, and you get paid wages dependent on what your worth is, dependent on how qualified you actually are. So what are they saying? Are they saying that rocket scientists and jet pilots should be paid the same as toilet cleaners and bus drivers? I guess that is pretty much what they're saying here, but they're pointing it out that blacks should get the same as whites. They're not actually differentiating between the difference in qualifications between them. What do you make of the details that they point out here, Grandpa?
Yeah, that one line was the closest thing we got to any sort of fairness. And then the very following line, they go back to this, you know, ridiculous comparison of low-income blacks to high-income whites. I mean, why not compare low-income whites to high-income whites, low-income blacks to high-income blacks, low-income whites to high-income blacks? I mean, this is nonsensical. And we have to bear in mind that this is also in the context of the way they spent the last several decades shipping manufacturing jobs overseas. How is that relevant? Well, let me tell you how it's relevant, because it used to be a working class man had a chance. Like, you could get a job, say, working on an assembly line at GM, and it wasn't a bad job, had a union, paid really well. And people that didn't want or were incapable of going to college. I was listening to your show the other day, Sven, where you talked about, you know, once upon a time, only the cream of the crop went to college. And now we have this ridiculous program where they're trying to shoehorn everybody else. Everybody needs to go to college when they're not capable nor really even want to go to college. Of course, that gets people started off in life with a debt. You know, once you're in debt with student loans, then that's getting off. I'm diverging off the topic. So let me reel this back in. It used to be working class people had a chance. You could get a job, you put on a job, apply for a job. If you get on with some place like, say, a car manufacturer and work the assembly line, you know, you were capable of that job and you could earn, you had the potential to earn a decent middle class income with your hands if you were willing to work for a living. This is irregardless of race, by the way. But they shipped all of that overseas so that these – and cars did not get cheaper, by the way. They shipped all that overseas, and the free trade people told us, oh, well, everything's going to – it'll be totally worth it because things will be cheaper. But they weren't. Cars have gone up every year. They get more expensive every year. So that means that money funneled into Wall Street, means these corporations got richer. But now people didn't have that opportunity for decent middle class income by working on an assembly line. So what does that mean? Where did those people go? Well, those people now are stuck in service sector jobs. They're stuck in food service and just some sort of service sector jobs. Well, that's the first thing that got shut down in the name of this doom flu nonsense. So, of course, these people now who have already they had to abandon any hope of a decent middle class income just by simply working every day, and they've been forced into these shit tier jobs. And now even those jobs are being taken away from them. And again, this is they keep trying to turn this into a race issue. And yes, it means obviously you could say, well, blacks have a lower IQ, they're going to be more likely to have these shit tier jobs. But I mean, really, I think that's a distraction that they're putting here, and would do well not to fall for it, because they want to take the focus away from this. Has been a concerted effort. This didn't just happen by coincidence. These corporations on the free trade thing, the government made that happen. The government incentivized taking those jobs away from people. And then they just act like, oh, well, it's just the free market at work. What can you do? Oh, shucks. Look what happened. But it was an intentional thing. Then they forced people into these really crappy service sector jobs that really nobody wants to actually do. These were jobs. It makes me sick. I went to we have this thing called Sonic here, and it's like an old style car hop place. You drive up there in your car, you push the button, they bring your food out to you, you know, and it, you know, they have car hops that bring the food out to you. And these are jobs where any kind of fast food place or whatever. And these are always jobs that high school kids did, you know, you went there and these were job, part-time jobs. High school kids did these jobs. And now more and more, you go to these jobs or you go to these places and the people doing these jobs are grown people my age, and they're out there doing car hop jobs that 30 years ago only high school kids did those jobs. But now you have regular people trying to scrape by a living doing these jobs that before were just, you know, entry level jobs for high school kids. But now that's what they've done to the economy. So now they've shut all of that down, and now everybody's just left afloat. Right now they're papering it over, but what happens when that ends? Where do these people go then? But yet they're again trying to create this anti-white race-hating narrative that, oh, this is about racism somehow, when instead it's about these corporations, this oligarchy working hand in hand with middle management government to strip mine what's left of the economy, because they're globalists. They can leave. If the country burns, they'll just go somewhere else. So they don't care. So you had this concerted effort to do this, but they're trying to keep everybody distracted. Look over here. Look, it's more about picking on women and blacks. It's more about picking on women and blacks. No, it's more about strip mining what's left of the middle class, decimating the working class in order for these oligarchs to get richer and richer, and they can leave at any time they want.
You know, really, it would be the same if they said low-income wage earners have less money than high-income wage earners. And if they printed that, everybody would say, well, yeah, well, so what? And that is exactly what they're saying. But what they're saying is black low-wage earners earn less money than white high-wage earners. And because they've actually put black and white in there, then they infer that this is somehow down to race. They say other high-risk groups also faced higher odds of poor outcomes. The team found that low-income Hispanic men were 2.9 times more likely to be unemployed due to the pandemic than high-income white men. Shock, horror. In this study, we found that groups that have historically been marginalized on the basis of race, ethnicity, sex, and income had higher risks of experiencing 6 negative well-being outcomes. Blanket public health policies that ignore existing distributions of risk to well-being may be associated with increased race, ethnicity-based, sex-based, and income-based inequities. There's that word again, inequities. Well, of course you're going to have inequities with income. Your income is going to be different for people based upon the abilities that they have, the skills that they have, the amount that they can actually earn for the company. There are differences between people. It's not about groups that have historically been marginalized. I mean, historically, there have always been low wage earners. We need people that do the grotty jobs, basically. That's a part of society. And yes, they should benefit from the people at the top of society, but they do. They benefit from technology. They benefit from programs to help with health. Nobody in America is saying we are not going to allow you into this hospital because you are black. Nobody is saying we are not going to pay you a decent wage because you are black. There are other reasons for this. And it's disgusting that they try to get away with this. And it really is obvious in this article what they're doing with the comparisons that they're making, because obviously there is going to be a difference between low income and high income. Well, Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
I just keep looking at that last line about blanket public health policies ignore existing distributions of risk to well-being may be associated with increased race, ethnicity-based, sex-based, and income-based inequity. It's just a word jumble. You're correct. Nobody's going to walk into a hospital and they're not going to get told, oh, well, sorry, you're just going to have to go off and die because you're black. But they will essentially tell you that if you don't have money, if you don't have really good health insurance, our healthcare system, and that's a whole nother topic we don't have time for today, but our healthcare system is such a scam in this country that, oh, you have health insurance, but you have a $10,000 deductible. You know, sorry, they're still not going to mess with you. It's, again, it's like the legal system. This is about if you have a lot of money, you get the services, the system benefits you. If you do not, if you're working class and poor, and now working class and poor are beginning to become one and the same, then you're just out of luck. Too bad. Go off and die somewhere. But this attempt, it's so funny. because we get accused of, quote unquote, y'all make everything, are you racist? You make everything about race. But we don't. And here we have this, you know, mainstream media article, and it is they who are trying to make something that is so obvious, this collusion between these corporate elites and the government, strip mine the economy from everybody else, something that is just anybody with an eye to see can see. And it is they who are trying to turn this around and make this all about race. It's all about race. See, it's more racism. It's more racist. They're picking on the blacks. They're picking on the poor Hispanics. And it's just all a diversionary tactic. You're not supposed to notice what they're doing. None of this is a coincidence. What they're doing to the economy is not a coincidence. The fact that they got rid of everybody's decent paying manufacturing jobs so that the corporations could get even wealthier and everybody else got poor, that was not a coincidence. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't ineptitude. Just like with this pandemic, just like these lockdowns, just like with this outcome of strip mining so the billionaires get richer, it's intentional. It's all very much intentional, and it affects white people. It affects black people. It affects everybody. But then once you're looking at that, they want to keep this stirred up. You just look up, oh, look, blacks, you're being picked on just because of the racism. It's these rich white people. Never mind the white guy that works at the same job who's making the same amount as you are. He must be doing fine because all white people are privileged and all white people, I guess, are high income earners. This is all a diversion. And it is they who try to make everything about race.
We just pointed out when they do so. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.